Bibles, please, this evening, and go to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. I appreciate the admonition of that song. The Lord invites us to come unto Him, and that's exactly what we want to do. We want to be able to come unto the Lord. We spoke on that this morning, and what freedom there is when we follow the promises of God. He tells us that we can come unto Him, and I'm thankful, and I'm glad that even we as Christians, we can come unto Him, and we can experience cleansing, and we need daily cleansing. We've been saved by the grace of God, but we make mistakes. There's things that we do in our lives, and I'm glad we can go to the Lord, and we can say, Lord, I've blown it here. I confess it to You, and He's faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and I rejoice in that. The message tonight that the Lord's given, He gave it right away as I was meditating on the message this morning. It's similar to this morning's message, and I said, Lord, you know, why do You want this? It's kind of a confusing thought for me. I don't like to feel like I'm giving the same message in a row, but, you know, we're going to trust the Lord. The Lord knows what He's doing. Matthew 23, I want to draw our attention to verse number 37. Get right into the text that the Lord has for us. Jesus is weeping in the temple. And in verse 37, this is several hundred years later, after the account we talked about in Isaiah this morning, how the Lord encouraged the nation of Judah to come unto Him. Come, they could come unto Him even though their sins were as scarlet and as crimson. He'd wash them white as snow. He'd make them as clean as wool. But this is the Son of God in the flesh. And He's burdened over the same people. He's weeping in the city of God, the place of God's blessing, the temple, all those things. And He says in verse 37 of Matthew 23, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. In my Bible, above verse 37, it says, The lament over Jerusalem. How many of you heard that? This is where He's weeping over the city of Jerusalem. I want to draw your attention to chapter 24 and verse 1. Here's how we know this is an impossibility. Chapter 24 and verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. He's not weeping over the city. He's weeping in the temple. The place that He longed for. He longed for a place where man can worship Him. And in verse 1 He says, And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask for Your help now. We pray for Your will to be done. And Lord, I pray that You'd speak clearly, Lord, through me. Lord, hide me behind the cross of Calvary. I pray for Spirit-filled preaching, listening, decisions. But Lord, we pray for Your glory, that You'd fill this place, this very hour, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If there'd be a title to the message, it would be this, Our House or God's House. Our House or God's House. Verse 38 of Matthew 23, Jesus said, Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. In chapter 24, verse 1, the Bible says, And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. Now, let me give you an explanation as to what's going on here. As you look at the book of Matthew, you'll find that it's written by a publican or a tax collector. And I look at that, and folks, that gives me hope. God doesn't use perfect people. God just used people that are yielded to Him. And I'm glad our past is no longer our past. Our past is under the blood. This man was a tax collector, but we find him an author of a New Testament book. That's the grace of God. Matthew is an interesting book. It's written from a Jewish perspective, written by a Jew, and it shows that King Jesus offered the kingdom to the nation of Israel. And it's important to understand this. The opening chapters connect the Lord to the Old Testament books of the Bible. And we find this here in chapters 1 to 3. Matthew reveals Jesus as the prophet, priest, and king. And by the way, we need all of those things. We need somebody who's going to give us clear direction. We need somebody who's going to intercede for us because of our sins. And we need somebody who's going to rule over us. And I'm glad Jesus Christ fits the bill. He's everything that we need. In chapters 4 through 7, the Lord preaches about the kingdom and how it functions. His kingdom is vastly different from any kingdom in the world. And he talks about his kingdom and how it's to operate. And it's a spiritual kingdom. It's not a carnal kingdom. It's not something that's going to be taken by force or operated by force. We find in chapters 8 through 10 that the Lord expands upon the kingdom life through the eyes of people. And the people that he encounters, and we find the Lord sending out his disciples to gather people to join this kingdom. The Lord speaks messages through people and events and people and how he gathers people unto himself that a normal king wouldn't gather. He gathers all of those that are the downcast of society, those that are looked down upon. He gathers them and he says, come, I will be your king. We find in chapters 11 to 13, we find the reaction of people to the kingdom message. There were the common people were accepting of the message. There was a group who was undecided. That was the Lord's family. And for a time, John the Baptist found himself in that category. Then we find those who are the critical ones of his message and his kingdom message. And those are the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. And what we see going forth from there is we see conflict with the religious leadership and the Lord Jesus Christ. You look at chapters 14 to 20 and you see insight into how people expected the Lord to manifest himself as the Messiah. He did miracles for the Jews and for the Gentiles, and they saw him as a problem solver. But the religious leadership, I'm talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, they failed to see him as the Messiah because they wanted a conquering king who would free them from Gentile occupation. And because he wasn't sort of dancing to their tune, they began to persecute him even more. The fact of the matter is everybody missed the cross. They're all looking for a conquering king. But Isaiah speaks of a suffering servant before there would be a king to rule. The Lord didn't come as a military conqueror. He came as one who would suffer for the sins of mankind. And we get into chapters 21 to 25, in which we find our text passage, and we find increasing conflict between the kingdom the Lord seeks to establish with Israel's religious hierarchy. It's at this time that the Lord goes into the temple. He cleanses the temple. He flips over the tables of the money changers, exercising his rightful authority as the king and as the one who's the focal point of the temple. He rebukes the compromised leadership of the temple because of the hypocritical leadership of the scribes and Pharisees. They don't take this very well, and they begin to attack the Lord. And in Matthew 23, we see that in the midst of all of these things, before his crucifixion, we find our Lord and Savior weeping in this temple. That's what we find. And so the thought process for us here tonight is this. In our place of worship, this is either our house or God's house. And I'll submit unto you that this needs to be the Lord's house. This is not to be a place of our choosing. We're not to want to do things our way. We're wanting to do it God's way, to have God's blessing. The Lord walked out of that temple. And we want the Lord to fill this place and to meet with us here every week. We find in Matthew 21, verses 12 to 14, I'll read this to you, really highlighting what the temple was like in the Lord's day. The Word of God says in Matthew 21, verse 12, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. It was a place of merchandise, but he wanted it to be a place of worship. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Here's what's crazy. It's okay to make a buck, but don't you dare help people. That's some messed up stuff. Okay? This place exists here for the worship of God and the edification of people. We're here to build people up. I want troubled people coming here. I'm not crazy. You see, the Lord helped people. That's what Christianity is all about, helping people. I'm not looking for perfect people. The fact of the matter is, if you're perfect, you probably already feel uncomfortable being here. Okay? The Lord didn't come seeking the righteous. He came calling sinners to repentance. And the only ones that God can bless are those that see themselves as sinners. And I've just felt the whole ministry that God has given me has been preaching against religious hypocrisy. I don't know why it ends up happening. You know, there's liberty that is in Christ. We have liberty, freedom in Christ. You have liberty to serve the Lord. And by the way, I'm going to fight for that all the days that I'm here. There's liberty with the Lord. There's freedom with the Holy Spirit of God and when he's working. And Jesus Christ is our standard. And so I'll submit to you that this needs to be the Lord's house and not man's house. And it's important. And we see this in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll bring forth what the Lord has for us. The first thing we see is we consider our Lord in the temple, which was dedicated to him and to the worship of Almighty God. We find our Lord weeping. We see weeping. Look at verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, our Savior weeping. You can't even imagine it. David longed to build a temple for his king. And the Lord said to him, you're a bloody man. So he allowed Solomon to build such a temple. You think of generations of Israelites that worshiped God through the avenue of the tabernacle and setting that thing up as they traveled. Think about that. God established a temple for worship. And we find our Lord weeping in this place. And what's he weeping over? He's weeping over Jerusalem. I like what G. Campbell Morgan says. He says, here indeed, if ever we have thoughts that breathe and burn, one can almost feel the withering force of his strong and mighty indignation. Indignation directed not against the people, but against their false guides. And yet behind it all is his heart, and the woes merge into a wail of agony, the cry of a mother over her lost child. You know what I can't stand? False prophets. I can't stand corrupt leadership. I hate it. I can't stand those that would overload people who cannot bear those burdens. I hate Phariseeism. I hate the spirit of religiosity. I can't stand it. It disgusts me, and it disgusts the Lord. I mean it. I've watched people flip out. I've said this, and I'm not saying this to be scandalous or anything. I've told women that thought they were spiritual. I said, that lady over there wearing tight jeans is more spiritual than you'll ever be. And I've watched people, it's like their head almost spun off of their body. Like, how dare you say that? Spirituality is the direction we're going, not what we're showing off. That's how we know how spiritual we are. What's the direction we're going? And I just want to have people that are going in the direction of God. I'm not concerned with how someone looks. Hey, they'll get that all taken care of if they get a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not concerned how they pray, okay? Because I know if they get a hold of the Lord, they're going to go in the direction of the Lord, and I know how the Lord's going to work in that. But our Son of God, our Savior, weeping here because of what's going on in the temple. This was the place of the kings of Judah. This was the place of divine worship. This was the holy city, the faithful city, the joy of the whole earth as it's referenced in the Word of God. And what's going on here? False worship. When I consider our Lord weeping, I think how he feels about us, brothers and sisters in Christ. Hebrews tells us, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but it was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You ever watch who gathered around Jesus Christ? It wasn't the rich people. It was the demon-possessed women. It was the tax collectors. It was the short, stocky guys that couldn't even climb a tree. No, I'm not crazy. I just happen to look at people the way the Lord looks at people. I've never found a disciple out of somebody that had it all together. I've always watched people that needed encouragement and help in their life, and I've watched them do great things for God. See, man and God look at things vastly different. This isn't a hospital for sick people. No, it's not. This is a place where we come with our walk with the Lord, and we just seek to follow the Lord and be better for the Lord. That's exactly what we're doing here. But the Lord weeping because church wasn't what it was supposed to be. And I'll submit to you that church isn't like it should be now. And I want the Lord's blessing, and I'm glad he has been blessing, but we want to do things the Lord's way. We find wickedness here. Look at what it says in verse 37. He's weeping for Jerusalem, and he says this in verse 37, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. He says, Jerusalem, you're guilty of this. The reference that he's giving here in his day was the great Sanhedrin, who had the power of death within their hands. They were to judge those that were false prophets, and they could put them to death. But the fact of the matter is, we look at the word of God, you see in verse 34 that he says, and he's speaking throughout Israel's history, how he sent unto them prophets and wise men and scribes, and they were killed, and they were scourged in the synagogue, and they were persecuted. Verse 35, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto Zechariah, right from the beginning up until his time, persecution. You know, the hardest thing in the world to do is take God's message to heart. Can I just say this? The cross is offensive. It is offensive. The cross teaches us that salvation has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with the Son of God. It is offensive. Jesus preached that, you know, fed the 5,000, and he looked at the same crowd when he told them that you've got to partake of me and be one with me, and they all left him, and he looked at the 12, and he says, are you also going to go away? Wickedness. You know, the word of God is going to get down deep into our hearts, and God is going to tell us some things. And it's not always going to be pleasant. God told me things this week. I said, Lord, I've been a Christian for quite a while. You know, that doesn't fly with the Lord. He says, I want to help you. You see, this is where we gather. Listen, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life, the struggles that you've got right now. Do you know the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Are you moving in the direction of the Lord? Then the Lord is going to help you. You say, preacher, I've been coming to church, and it feels sometimes like you get to wear a helmet. I know this is a painful instrument. This is a hammer that smashes the rocks to pieces. It truly is. I'm going to tell you something. Before I got saved, I got offended. Think about that for a second. You mean I'm going to hell? Me? Right? Self has to be wounded before God can help. What do you mean I'm a bad person? I never killed anybody. I never beat up any old ladies. I never stole off anybody I didn't have to. Okay? That's the life I used to live. But when confronted with perfection, there's no argument. All there is like, wow, you got me, God. But you know what they did? They killed the messengers. They killed the messengers. You know what we're seeking to do here is build up people. We've got new leaders that are in different positions in the church. We want them to grow. We've got people that are going to be preaching here in a little bit. And you know what I feel my job as a pastor is to watch out for them. You know why there aren't a lot of older preachers? Because somebody discouraged a younger preacher. You know why a lot of young people don't serve the Lord? Because there's too many critics in church. And we don't want that wickedness, because this isn't our house. This is the Lord's house. And this is a place of worship, and this is a place where people can grow. We see here, as we consider the Lord here, we find the willingness of the Savior. Look at what it says in verse 37. Even though there's wickedness going on, he says here in verse 37, he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together down through the ages. Brother Matt, all he wanted was fellowship with them. Folks, I say it so often, but this is what is available to us. Intimate fellowship with Almighty God. If you are his child, you have access to that. And as much of it as you want. You can be used by God as much as you want to be used by God. That's what's available to us. I'm going to tell you something. When that veil was rent, everything was made brand new. There's no main nationality in Christ. There's no main personalities in Christ. Because of Calvary, we're all one in Christ. And everybody has an opportunity to do that. I'm not trying to lead this church in a weird way, but women can serve God just as much as men. I think our churches have had to have a wake-up call and thinking, hey, we're definitely out of balance here. Think about it for a second. The willingness of God to gather us together. And you know, that's what the Lord wants to do in this place. He wants to gather us all together as one. And he wants to be our God. That's how willing God is. You say, preacher, I feel far away from the Lord. You're not. God's presence is here right now. I'm totally aware of that. And I thank the Lord for that. And I want to encourage you to draw near to him while he is near. And as he's speaking, say yes and follow him. That's how great our God is. This is the Lord's house, not our house. We want to do things God's way. Look at the warmth at which the Savior seeks to gather us. We who are his children. He says, how often I would have gathered thy children together. Notice this. Even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. It doesn't get any more tender than that. That's what the hen does. She protects her young from the prey, from the storms of life. Folks, I don't know who's led you before or what you've gone through. I don't know how your upbringing was. Maybe dad was harsh or mom was harsh or previous leaders in your life. Folks represent different churches. I don't know how it was for you, but that's not how God is. He's the good shepherd. He's the gentle shepherd. He's the faithful shepherd. He's the kind shepherd. God wants to help us more than he looks for something out of us for him. That's how faithful he is. As a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, that's tender. That's compassionate. That's saying you don't have to bring anything to the table. I'm just going to naturally look out for you because you belong to me. That's precious to me. There's security in that. There's freedom in that. There's comfort in that. There's room to grow in that. He says, just let me put my arm around you and take care of you. That's what we want in this place. That's what I want in my life, and that's been the heart change for me. It's no longer performing. It's just saying, Lord, you do it. It's not trying to put my family under some perfectionist guise so I can look perfect. You'll always feel the pressure of that in ministry. You want the fullness of the Spirit, and you want to come with the fullness of the Spirit, but it's not maintaining perfection in order to have it. It's just simply trusting him and allowing him to do what he wants. Listen, that's how much he wants. He says, hey, can you just come under my wing? Okay. You feeling beat up? He says, hey, right here. I got a spot for you. Get over, Mountainy. You're covering two spots. We'll fit one more in here. Okay? You know, sometimes we get that way. We want to hog the Savior. I get that way. There's no spiritual giant in this church. We all can talk to him. That's how real Jesus Christ is. Let me just gather you. Oh, and here's the thing that burns in my soul. They didn't want him, beloved, but I do. There's a lot of churches that just go through the motions. I don't want that. I want it to be real every time, don't you? We meet and it's real every time, and God meets every time. I don't care how many people come here. I just want the Lord here. And I want people to find freedom here, and people are finding that. And by the way, I'm going to fight for that. I'm going to fight for that. Because I was once one that nobody looked to as doing anything for the Lord. But thank God for those that took me under their wing and drew me closer to the Savior. What warmth that he displays unto people, a people that rejected him. But not only that, we see this. All of these things that he does, his weeping, just a desire to help. But the end of verse 37, and he says, and ye would not. What wavering of his people. You know, when everything was good, they sang his praises. The time of calamity, where were they? You know, Israel found themselves under Gentile occupation because of their rebellion. I would tell you this, and I mean this in all sincerity and sensitivity. We are at where we're at as a country because we brought this upon ourselves. I believe that. I believe that with all my soul. It's a deep conviction. It's a deep conviction. But I believe it can change. I believe it can change if we get a hold of the Lord. And I'm not talking about raising up a political army, raising up a militant Christian army. I'm just talking about God's people being God's people. And I think it starts with an excellent spirit. That's why I'm praying for our prime minister. No, I didn't vote for him. But I'm telling you something. He has a soul. He's got kids. And if they don't get saved, they're going to go to hell. And wouldn't it be amazing to watch our prime minister repent and say, listen, I mock Christ. Now he's my Savior. That'd be phenomenal. You say, that can't happen. What God are you talking about? Okay, what God are you talking about? I'm tired of just tired of looking at a God that's so small and elevating myself. We need to elevate the Lord. That's the truth of the matter. They wavered. They wouldn't go to him. That's the saddest thing in the world. For us as God's children, listen, lost people, they're lost in their trespasses and sins. They can't turn to God. They need the grace of God to work in them. But this is referring to the people of God, the covenant people of God. They knew who the Lord was. They made the conscientious choice. They said, we have no king but Caesar. We as the people of God can say no to God. But we shouldn't. We shouldn't. Folks, this isn't pie-in-the-sky theology. This is reality. And I'm watching God work. And God work in lives week after week after week. The Lord's been working. Let's say yes to God. Yes, gather me. Yes, show kindness to me. Yes, use me. Yes, get right down deep in my heart and expose the things that are painful. Yes, Lord, open up every door. Be the king of every room in my life. That's where God's blessing is found. Because this is God's house and not man's house. Because it is not our homes, it is the Lord's homes. That's where we live. We don't own the homes we live in. They're not really our homes, they're the Lord's homes. Really, truly. And if they are, they're blessed. If they are, they're built. If they are, we're protected by Almighty God. They wavered. And as a result of that, we find the last thing. What? Whoa, look at verse 38. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Why? Why did Jesus leave the building? Because it was all about money and not about righteousness. Because it was all about image and not about helping people. Because it was all about the glory of man and not the glory of God. Because it was all about the elevation of the nation of Israel and not the good news to all the world. That's what separated David from Saul. David went down that mountain after Goliath. He said that all the earth may know there's a God in Israel. I want all of Cold Lake to know that God's active and alive and well in Cold Lake and he's working. I want all the province to know. I want this country to know. See, the Lord wants to meet for worship somewhere. And I'm just saying, why don't we just make this the Lord's house where, Lord, this is your place. We come with the attitude, Lord, what do you want us to do? How do you want us to worship? Lord, what is the order of service that pleases you the most? When should we meet for prayer and how should we meet for prayer? See, that's what it's all about. It's not having a humanistic mindset. It's having a theistic worldview, which is God-centered. That's the saddest words in the Bible, and ye would not. And Jesus said, your house is left unto you desolate. And he never entered the temple again. Verse 39, he says, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They missed the opportunity of visitation. God came. God came desiring to be their king. I know the whole import of Scripture and how he was to die on the cross, but he came and they rejected him. Verse 39, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. In chapter 24 and verse 1, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple. Why? Because it was no longer his house. I'm just saying this. Let's just make this the Lord's house. And by the way, let's make these temples the Lord's temple. Whatever you want to do in this body. Aren't you tired of putting limitations on God? I'm tired of hearing that. And I've said this often, not to elevate self. I grew up on an Indian reserve with no running water. With no proper education. No opportunity for any of those things. And the Lord just opened the door and opened the door. Do you think it was natural to go to Bible college? Not in your life. I didn't even have a driver's license. An old guy dropped me off there. No chance. And the other Bible college I went to, I had to pick apples, a buck a crate to pay for my first month of Bible college in Ontario. Loaded people, lots of money. You went to that same school. You know how crazy that place was. And I'm just trying to eke out a living. People are like, man, you're weird. You don't dress. Well, I don't have a lot of money for fancy clothes. I want to serve the Lord. Hence the warning, wrong place, okay? So what about our lives? Oh, preacher, I just can't. That's your problem. It's about you. And I'm not trying to hurt anybody. Now, what can the Lord do? Who's God? You know, that's why people don't succeed in business. Why? I could never do that. You're right, and you never will. Right? Who's in us? Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. I've been on construction sites, and I said, Jesus, I don't know how to do this, but you're a carpenter, and you live in me, so show me some carpenter skills. Say, you're crazy. What's better than just, well, I can watch Bob the Builder on TV, okay? What are we going to do, right? Well, I've never preached before. I trust I'm not preaching tonight. I really do. I trust I'm not. I trust you're seeing a personality, but God controlling it. Because that's the only way it works, by the way. I'm looking at a lady. I could never work with kids, and she's doing it. How come the kids are alive? Because Jesus works through Tasha. Otherwise, we're going to have funerals. That's the truth, right? I'm watching ladies work in the nursery. I don't got any kids, but I love children. Thank God for blinding them until they have them, right? Okay. Sign up teenagers, all of you, right? The Lord's house. You're the Lord's child. We belong to the Lord. This is the Lord's temple. Lord, I only want to have what you want me to have. I only want to do what you want me to do, and I only want to be what you want me to be. Nothing more, nothing less. That's it. How about we stop living life according to our limitations and start living life from the Lord's perspective? Let's all stand, please, with every head bowed, every eye closed. Appreciate your patience.